JG2.
Number 15A.
We would say the same thing about when we get to the Christ order. We'll just finish it up as long as it's under discussion. With the Christ order, that would be the same thing. Its principle and relationship to its calculus of ideas as it has its impact on the relative standpoint. So principle takes the standpoint of principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, the invariable. We never change the principle. It's a fixed principle. But it's its relationship to the calculus of ideas as it has its impact on the relative. So the calculus of ideas changes here, what we say about the principle, what goes on concerning the principle varies and changes, but the principle remains the same, and the same with the Christianity order. It's a relationship of principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love to the ideas, the calculus of ideas there that is having its impact on the relative. And then principle and its relationship to principle as soul, life, spirit, truth, mind, and love. That principle doesn't vary, but the ideas or the experience has a as a calculus allows us to talk about the impact of that principle at that point on ideas. So it just, I wanted to finish that, and therefore we're have that same type of a law. The elements of the law, therefore, would always be the first element, of course, is of the word, that principle of the Christ in the process of dissolving through the translation and retranslation, second element, and Christianity, the third element, the outcome of the process of dissolving error, or the false belief, the third element, and the fourth, of course, the science, which be our understanding that has happened from the science of a structured scientific standpoint, structured scientific understanding. Gail?
I just wanted to make sure I understand.
Sure.
What you're saying is that the order of the synonyms is what's invariable.
Yes. Because it stands for principle. Principles, relation, principle, the relationship is between principle and its idea. And the relationship is set up here according to mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That never varies. But the way we explain it varies.
So the ideas of the synonyms?
They can vary. Yes, what you want to say about the law of creativity, you can vary. Within that law, you see, you can say that law of creativity applies to a multitude of phenomena.
As long as the synonyms are in the structure,
yeah.
The order in which they...
Yes, that never varies. You can't change that.
But
you can talk in many, many ways about the law of creativity and how it expresses itself. That law of creativity covers a multitude of phenomena, doesn't it? That can change. And the law of translation and retranslation causes a multitude of phenomena. That translation, retranslation is going on in the universe. It's going on within the sciences, taking them from a physical explanation of science to a mental, to psychoneuroimmunology, finally into the science of mind. Or you can see how other fields are switching from a more physical explanation to a more mental to a spiritual. So you can see that varies in your explanation. And the principle never varies, but the impact of it varies. Yeah, the order never changes, but the phenomenon it covers a multitude of phenomena, doesn't it? That's with all the different orders. Okay, it's just so we know that it's important to talk about laws because to talk about the structure of laws. We won't make any impact with the scientists, especially with Davies that asks for the form of the law. And then he asks us about our laws and we just look at them. We just, you know, we just can't explain them in scientific terms. when this lets us explain intelligently how this form or structure of these laws as we see them, you see. It's very scientific, the method that we've gone through in order to explain how these laws are set up. So I just wanted to gather together that loose end that we didn't finish on this level that we had started with all the other levels. All right. So we take that attitude of culturing our scientific sense. And when we go home, you see, I've tried this Socratic method to get us to question ourselves. Why? Why is it the... why, like when we come here, every level always question, you know, why do we have such a phenomenon as we do at the Word of Divine Science called life? Or why do we have the phenomenon that we do at the Word of Absolute Christian Science? Why do we have such a law and its phenomenon on the level of the Word of Christian Science? Don't just memorize, reason it out through categories. Because all our problems have to go back to the categories. As we said, not to teachers, but to, we must take it back to the system itself. Everything's got to go back to the system. Everything's system intrinsic. That's the only way the idea will go forward. If we're not scientists, this idea will just fall away, and then this, for Christian Science. But naturally, we see that it's alive in the world when, as we've already seen now, that Davies sees these laws as intelligent laws, that the state doesn't have to inform the laws of their condition. Those laws are already omnipotent, all omniscient, omnipresent, omniaction, all the qualities of God we see. They're the fundamental stuff of the universe, slowly but surely. We can see they're catching on to the system. So as scientists and thinking things out in science, so it's important for us not to be religionists, as we know, but to be able to see the inner reality, the inner logic of each level, and to reason it out. And we can do it if we adhere to the category. We have been doing it. So that makes it the science of it. All right, so now let's take the law. And of course, it's our polishing, taking these laws back with the Four Levels book and then going over them and over them again until it all becomes natural. The categories and the relationship, it all becomes natural. It's just by polishing. That's what always makes something a very, very understandable within consciousness, gaining the exact letter and imbibing the spirit. So, all right. So now we want to touch as letter and spirit the word order. And we see, therefore, that always then staying within the rhythm of principle itself, never going outside of the infinite rhythm of principle, being its own infinite principle according to the immaterial feedback principle on each level. We just have principle shown again, bringing out another standpoint of principle, another activity of principle. So here on the level of Christian Science, we then can see that principle, where on the level of science itself is just principle being its own infinite principle as we reality build. And on the level of divine science, that principle has within itself a universal idea, where principle and its universal idea is one, and this one is principle. And that principle is presenting its universal idea always out of itself, through itself, so the outcome is as itself, for the glory of itself, we reason. And then we see, well, that that principle not only has a universal idea, but within that universal realm of principle, which is a closed system on absolute Christian science, it's open to infinite calculations, it's open to an infinite self-reflection as the calculus of ideas. That principle itself appears as the infinite individual ideas, yet still remains the principle. And then we see that here, just reality building, we see, well, then that principle, which is a calculus of ideas, has its impact on the relative standpoint. And so first we will just see what the law means, and then we'll flow with it as consciousness. So reality building of the word, we see, well, then that word order, that law of creativity, that principle comes, and it first of all comes because we're only within the principle, within the divinely subjective view of the principle. Naturally, it takes the divinely subjective standpoint first, doesn't it? Because it's within the realm of principle. We never leave the reasoning of going out from principle. So naturally, the law is set up from the standpoint of principle and its divinely subjective standpoint. So right away, principle just says, yes, that principle, which is being its own infinite principle, that I am on divine science, which is operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself, always appearing infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation, yet still remaining the principle on absolute Christian science, naturally is going to have its impact on the relative by saying, I am mind, isn't it? And therefore, I am not mortal mind. Therefore, I objectify myself as I know my inner self to be, which is intelligence. And therefore, I have an impact on the relative standpoint insofar that I come as wisdom. That's where it comes to the relative standpoint. So it first comes to the relative standpoint as a humanly objective. The human doesn't think out this to be wise. It comes to the human as wisdom. The human wisdom isn't something that the human mind has. Wisdom comes to it because mind, which is intelligence, brings to the human standpoint wisdom. It comes to the human as wisdom. And then that has a humanly subjective impact in which it does something to the human, doesn't it? It causes the human standpoint to react with an attitude of, oh, that it seeks mind, huh? It makes the human want to seek mind, God, because this is the word, it's at the standpoint of God, so therefore it's always the attitude towards God or the attitude towards mind. It causes the human to respond and seek mind. And therefore, that annihilates within the relative standpoint ignorance. Ignorance about man, would we say? Ignorance about God, good. That stays within the tonality of the word, good. That's wonderful. So it's ignorance about God, and at this point, we could say ignorance about mind. And therefore, that annihilates agnosticism. What is being an agnostic? What is an agnostic? What's the platform of agnosticism? God is unknowable. That's right. It's a belief that God cannot be known. Well, we see here that's the opposite of mind, because mind knows, and mind certainly knows itself. And so it's just, as Mrs. Eddy said, it's a question of mind always knowing mind. Mind can be known. So it annihilates the belief that mind cannot be known. Okay? Then, principal comes and says, all right, then I am, takes its subjective standpoint and just says what it is. It says, I am spirit. I am not matter. I handle the root noumenal counterfeit against spirit, which is matter. And says, therefore, I objectify myself as what I am inherently as the only substance, the only reality. And that has an impact on and comes to the human as purity, because spirit says, I am spirit, I'm the only substance, there's no other substance in reality, the only substance that there is spirit. Naturally, that will have its impact on the humanly objective. It just comes as the wisdom to know that reality is of the nature that it's pure. It brings an awareness of purity. And therefore, it has the wisdom to choose right from wrong, and purity is to stick to the right. And when it comes to the human as the wisdom to stick to the pure, to stick to the pure idea, it humanly has an impact then on the humanly subjective, that objective purity, the concept to stick to the pure idea, causes within the human the attitude, therefore, to choose the spiritual. It isn't, as we'll see, that the human is so smart to choose the spiritual, that because spirit comes and seeks the spirit in man and comes as saying, I am spirit, I am not matter, I objectify myself as the only substance which comes as the purity, to focus only on that only substance, which then makes the humanly subjective attitude to choose the spirit over the material explanation, and therefore it resolves duality, the belief that there is spirit and matter, or the belief in dualism, which is a belief in spirit and matter, or there we have polytheism, which is the belief in many gods, okay? Where thou shalt have no other gods but the one God, the only God, which is, which at this point is that of the nature of spirit. Okay? Then we see that on that fact, on the level of science itself, that principles, nature is soul, and that soul is being its own infinite soul, which is operating out of itself, through itself, the outcome as itself, for the glory of itself, where that soul is infinitely individualizing itself and adapting itself to a specific situation as a calculus of the ideas of soul, then that comes and says, I am soul, I am not sense testimony. Therefore, I objectify myself as the only identity, the only ego there is the mind, spirit, soul identity. There is no other ego. Therefore, I am not of the mortal mind, matter, sense testimony of mind in a matter body. But my identity as principle is mind, spirit, and soul. I am that identity principle, the one ego. That comes as an impact on the human objectively without asking for it as spiritual understanding. And therefore, as a spiritual understanding, which then raises up the, brings up the attitude within the human of self-abnegation of the human ego for the divine ego, God, or soul. And therefore, that annihilates any sense of sin. And what does sin mean?
Not standing with God.
Not
standing with
not starting with God. Good, Charlie. Not going out from God. Missing the mark. Uh-huh.
It's identification of self or others.
Okay, the identification of self. Uh-huh.
Misidentification.
Misidentification of self. Yes, the false naming of Adam. Uh-huh.
Deviating from the pure standpoint.
Deviating from the pure standpoint. Mm-hmm. Those are all good definitions. Yes, good. And pantheism, it annihilates the belief in pantheism, which is?
God in matter.
God in matter, sure. God something, right. God in the body, God in matter, God in the mind, matter, body belief, yes, God in matter, okay. Good. Then we just keep reality building here. Then a principle on the level of science itself is just saying I am principle, being my own infinite principle, and I'm operating out of myself, through myself, as myself, and for the glory of myself, and I infinitely individualize myself and adapt myself to the specific situation, yet still remain principle. Therefore, I maintain my integrity throughout the universe. Principle never loses sight of principle. Therefore, I am principle. I am not personality, person. Therefore, I objectify myself as the infinite one, that there's no other besides myself, principle, and that comes to the human as spiritual power, meaning that the power of principle, that demonstrating power of principle, which is saying that I am the only principle, the one and only identity principle, then that comes to the human as spiritual power, which has really built on wisdom, purity, and spiritual understanding. Because that principle says, I am mind, I am spirit, and I am soul. I am principle. I come to the human as wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding. That if that causes the wisdom of the human to know right from wrong, and the purity to focus on what is right. And one can only focus on what is right with spiritual understanding. And when one focuses on what is right with spiritual understanding, that gives spiritual power, which then, through the humanly subjective, enables one to obey the principle. It takes spiritual power within consciousness to obey the principle. Certainly doesn't take human will. Human will never can obey a principle. It always vacillates and usually ends up obeying personality. And therefore that annihilates any sense of an anthropomorphic sense of God within us. And an anthropomorphic sense of God means... Okay, anthro coming from man, so God made in man's image, giving up any sense that God is man-like in any way, because we now see that God is an impersonal spiritual power at work. Then at life, we see that life is being its own infinite life on the science level, where divine science is operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, for the glory of itself, where on absolute Christian science it infinitely individualizes itself and adapts itself to every situation, it still remains life. So life says, I maintain the integrity of life in the translatability of life through the levels. It's just that one life takes on many forms, yet still remains life. And therefore life says, has its impact on the relative standpoint by saying, I am life, I am not death. Therefore, I objectify myself as the only infinite individuality in being, which comes to the human as love. Is that a human emotion, love? Okay. It's always love of the principle, isn't it, Mary Jane? It always is a flow there, that third degree we see there, that Love comes from wisdom, to know right from wrong, the purity to focus on the right, which can only be done through spiritual understanding. And if one does that, that brings spiritual power to love. It takes spiritual power to love the principle so much that we're willing, humanly, subjectively, in the next column, to lay down our mortal concept of life for life, huh? And therefore that enables us to give up our pride of life, which is to exalt ourself instead of God. So we have give up our sense of pride in life for the pride in the life which is God. And what does vitalism mean?
Belief of life in matter.
Oh, all right, yes, the belief of life in matter, like pantheism. And what about that belief of life in matter? Life is self-determined, yes. Uh-huh. And what?
Life would have a source in matter.
It would have a source in matter. All that makes up vitalism, that life is controlled by its own laws instead of the laws of God. It's on its own, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Good. Then we see that truth on the level of science itself is being its own infinite truth, and therefore which is always operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, for the glory of itself. Where on absolute Christian science, that truth is always infinitely individualizing itself and adapting itself to a specific situation, yet still remaining the one truth. And therefore, that a truth therefore maintains its integrity and says, I am truth. As it impacts the relative, I am not error. Therefore, I know myself inwardly as divine consciousness only. I'm only consciously aware of what I am as truth itself. And naturally, that impacts a human as health, because health is a consciousness of truth. Health is when a consciousness conforms to the standard of truth. And that then has an effect on the subjective attitude in the human, which causes the human it's healthy to affirm the truth, isn't it? We know that that's good to think positively, and so we healthily affirm the truth here as a humanly subjective attitude, and we always know that it's not healthy to deny the truth, so it annihilates that concept of denying the truth. What is the meaning of theodicy?
Belief that evil is necessary to make good have value.
All right, so it's a belief that evil is necessary. So the false theodicy, theo, God, deci, justice, it's God, justice. And the false sense of theodicy, yes, is then the annihilating the belief that God is both truth and error, or that evil, you said, was necessary. Yeah, within the system. Yes, that's right. It's annihilating the belief that evil is necessary within the system of God justice, which we know that evil is an unreality not going on within being.